So I realized today was very much about entertainment content. So movies, TV, production, post-production. So of course, especially on the, let's say, the Nagra subsidiary NextGuard that I'm originally from. So we deal with that a lot. But today, actually, I wanted to talk about sports. So this is about, let's say, illegal sports streaming and how, let's say, anti-piracy efforts can actually fight that. Okay, so I'm starting off with a few headlines. So I'll focus on those that that actually deal with sports. So if you look, start from the top, let's say this is from a fact report, which actually said that in the last 2 years, in UK, something like a million illegal, let's say, set-top boxes were sold to receive illegal services. And based on that, actually, the industry lost about 9 billion in this period. And a lot of this is actually sports. So if you look at the way that, let's say, soccer, football is arranged, where in the UK, the rights are actually sold to different providers and people have to basically subscribe to multiple operators to get all the games. A lot of the effort, let's say, in piracy and what the consumers do is actually basically to get the soccer for free. Yeah. In the bottom you see a quote by the Foxtel CEO. This was actually after an event last year where there was a big boxing match and there was actually somebody basically streaming live on Facebook, and that actually this was a pay-per-view event, so basically Foxtel lost a lot of money that day, and basically there was a lot of action later on. They actually had the two people responsible for it publicly apologize on Facebook afterwards. They didn't take any legal action, but this was the quote from the Foxtel CEO after that. Then on the top again, Spain. So here they say that football distributors, meaning broadcasters, pay TV operators that broadcast football, lost 270 million in 1 year due to piracy. And again, Spain, also Portugal, these are very good examples where actually, indeed, illegal IPTV boxes, as they are called, they're very, very prevalent. A lot of people have them, and it's come to the point where, let's say, your neighbor will say, hey, you're paying for this operator. I mean, you know, you can get this free box, right? I mean, it's become like a cultural thing. And that's, of course, very dangerous. And then that could affect, I mean, the livelihood of many people. So those, the fact that three of the five quotes are actually about sports, that shows that if you look at piracy, that has expanded very much from, you could say, the world of movies and TV also to live premium sports. So if you look at, illegal sports streaming, I'm not talking about movies and so on, but really about illegal sports streaming, there's basically, you could say, two forms. I'll start at the bottom. There's the kind of web and social piracy. This is often, let's say, the case for single events, like a boxing match or so on. So basically for a single event, then these streams are either on Facebook, as I mentioned, in Australia already, or on web links. These are available. People basically then find them somehow, and then basically instead of maybe doing pay-per-view, they will get these links for free. I mean, this is very visible piracy, so it's very important to combat this kind of piracy, but on the other hand, it's important to also realize that in a lot of cases, these people actually don't pay for these illegal streams, and they may be actually difficult to convert to, you could say, legal subscribers, legal viewers, and paying viewers. And the second is about IPTV, what they call IPTV piracy, which is typically often paid piracy. So this is a pirate that really has an infrastructure. They may distribute boxes, or they may distribute software, which can be loaded on a Fire TV stick or some kind of device. They actually really offer, they really have an infrastructure, which often mimics, by the way, a legal OTT provider. So they have, let's say, encoders, they make use of CDNs. They have domain providers, they even have, PayPal payment processors and so on. So basically these are really subscription-based services that offer, an alternative to a legal pay TV provider. And especially if you look at, I'm talking about sports, if you look at regular, let's say, competitions, leagues, where people really, consumer wants to basically follow, for instance, their home team every week or multiple times a week, then indeed what some consumers do is indeed they subscribe for a much lower amount to a paid IPTV service. Nagra deals a lot with that. Of course, we if you look at Nagra, I mean, what we do typically is we provide security for pay TV operators. So these guys, the IPTV pirates, are, let's say, the direct competitors of our customers. And that's why, of course, they have a lot of focus on that. And we indeed see that it is possible to convert these, the viewers of paid piracy to legitimate subscriptions. So if you look at anti-piracy, I mean, how do you fight this kind of pirate? So first of all, there's no silver bullet, a single silver bullet, and we'll just do this and it's all solved. So basically there's a couple of elements that you need. So first of all, you need technology. Technology in the form of, for instance, automatic crawlers that crawl the web. And of course, mostly this is automated, not fully automated, but mostly automated. Then you have to identify content, meaning that, there's a certain, for instance, a content owner that you're doing this for, you need to identify their content and make sure that you focus on that content alone. And then there's, other technologies like watermarking, which actually help to trace the content to the source. So that's one element, technology. The second element is enforcement. Okay, so then you found content, so what do you do then? So there's a lot of elements of enforcement. For instance, you need partnerships with social media. If you look at Facebook or YouTube, YouTube has a rights manager, which makes it possible for a content owner to identify their content and link it to the content owner so that the social media site can take it down. And then there's many other partnerships, like partnerships with payment processors and with CDNs, with domain name providers and so on, where you can also basically, that can help you and the customer to take illegal content down. The last element is legislation. So that's first of all, let's say, just making use of the existing legislation to basically take people to court. And for instance, this can be done with resellers. If for instance, IPTV boxes are being distributed in a certain country and they're resellers, then in that territory, the most easy part is basically to then block them from doing that in that particular market. You may not be able to touch the source, but you can touch the distributors. But it's also legislation, of course. I mean, it's lobbying lobbying for better legislation. And a very good example of this kind of thing is recently you have read that the UK court again approved an order, and this order allows, or basically requires, I should say, requires ISPs in the UK to block servers that provide illegal streams of the English Premier League in the UK. So if there's an illegal service, it uses servers and there's court orders for ISPs to block access to those servers in their network. So all of these elements are necessary for an effective approach. So here, after this, I wanted to just share a couple of experiences that we at Agra have had from both our work for the German Soccer League, that's the Bundesliga, and also from the recent World Cup soccer that just finished. So actually for the World Cup soccer, Nagra, we didn't work for FIFA, but we actually worked for a channel provider and DTH provider in the Middle East. So it was basically protecting their broadcast, their Arab language broadcast of the World Cup. And our experience here, is both about anti-piracy monitoring, but also about watermarking. And I'll come back to that. So first, if you look at the World Cup soccer, I'm from Europe, so it's a little bit closer to my heart. In the US, I think if you look at the figures in the finals, I think there were something like 15 million viewers on Telemundo, the Spanish language broadcast here in the US, and I think 12 million in the English language part, so maybe 27 million, which for the US, I guess, nothing special. actually, if you look at the World Cup final, there were actually 900 million viewers. So the World Cup final of soccer is by far, let's say, the single most watched sports event in the world. So that's a lot. So of course, if you look at the rights, I mean, this is very, very expensive. I mean, if you just take it as an example, you may have seen that France actually won the World Cup, so they were in the finals, which means they played the whole tournament. The French broadcaster actually broadcasting the World Cup spent €150 million to broadcast the event, and it's probably the only broadcaster that made money doing it, because France basically came so far. Other teams basically were eliminated after the first round, and definitely those broadcasters lost money there. So generally, the DTH providers, the cable operators, the broadcasters spend a lot of money transmitting the World Cup. And let's say they do this, of course it's a must-have event, and they may not make direct money on the broadcast itself, but this is, for instance, one of the ways that actually they also bring millennials back to pay TV. So a lot of them have cut the cord, but often, let's say, traditional broadcast, the traditional pay TV operator is the only way that you can actually watch the game. So for them it's still important. If you look at France, I think that something like 30% of the population watch the final. So I'm sure that a lot of those don't have a traditional pay TV subscription, for instance, right? So I mean, that's a way to bring them back, and then maybe, who knows, they'll take a subscription afterwards. So what do we do in this kind of situation? So what is the workflow from anti-piracy? So first of all, I mentioned this already, you start with infrastructure. So you have a lot of automatic crawling of content. So we also typically we have subscriptions to a lot of known pirate devices and services that are paid. So we monitor those. So we monitor the streams, and we then capture video elements, video segments from those streams. We use the content recognition, like I'm getting a lot of echo suddenly. We capture video segments from those sources. We logo recognition, fingerprinting, we say, hey, yes, this is a World Cup stream. And then, let's say, in the case of watermarking, so for instance, for our customer in the Middle East, so they actually use this DTH operator, so basically all of their set-top boxes were equipped with watermarking. So basically, from identifying the pirate stream, we then see, hey, this is this and that set-top box that was used for this pirate broadcast. And actually, our customer could then shut down that set box. So basically, shut down the source of the piracy. So what did we learn from these experiences? Like I mentioned, the German Soccer League, which was set the 2017-18 season, and the World Cup. So first of all, we do see in practice very much that anti-piracy is quite a high priority for customers. If you just look at the World Cup, there was a very high level of management involvement in the project, including the chairman. There is, an operational team. We had like twice a week operational meetings. Many people involved, many staff involved from the customer. So a very high level of attention. This is very important for them. So we also learned that, a one-time, if you look at sports streaming, illegal sports streaming, that a one-time event and a regular sports competition do require a different approach. And I would say the World Cup is a little bit in between. It's not a world, it's about a month, so it's not just one-time event. So if it's a one-time event, then you will see a lot of web and social, because this is a one-time thing. You only have to share this one stream. So there will be a lot of that, whereas if you've got a regular competition, the threat is much more in terms of a paid IPTV subscription. As somebody looking at the German soccer league, I mean, somebody who's a sports lover really wants to see that, wants to see their home team. They know they'll have to pay this amount of money for a normal subscription. Okay, if they get this box, so what they want in this case is a very reliable, high-quality stream that they can also see on their large screen. So in this kind of case, in terms of a competition, often it is indeed these, regular, what we call commercial pirates that are the biggest threat. Also what we learned, it all starts with monitoring. So first of all, what you do is indeed you monitor the landscape and you see what's out there, but it also changes. Once you start the reinforcement, things change. So you take a certain countermeasure, and then the pirates will come up with something else. They will change maybe the CDN provider, they will go somewhere else, they will do something, they will have a different source of the video. So you need to monitor very actively, you have to keep on monitoring, and that's where it starts. We also did learn that if you look at watermarking, meaning like in the case of what we did with our Middle East customer, that we basically watermarking was only in all the setup boxes, so you can identify the source and then shut down the source. This can be a very effective tool. It does require, I would say, a very close, interaction, a close integration between the monitoring and the watermark detection. It all has to happen very fast and automated so that you can act fast. At the same time, it's also important to be aware that indeed, I mean, if you have this information, you can disrupt, switch off set boxes. You may not always want to do it immediately. So the tactics can be, for instance, to wait and collect a number of set-top box IDs, wait until the next big event, and then switch them off all before this big event. So it doesn't give the pirates the time to react and come up with something else. So on the other hand, we also find, which is not surprising, that, I mean, if you look at watermarking, yes, it's an important tool, but it's not the only tool. So our particular customer there, for the World Cup, also had a certain pirate, some of you may know, who actually also operated from the Middle East, who's actually, you could say, state-sponsored, actually used a satellite to distribute their, our ArabSat, to distribute their signal, which had an enormous amount of funding to sustain the piracy. So, and yes, we also in this case, we managed to disrupt them, but with this kind of funding, with this kind of support, this is not, you need more than one tool to fight them. So that's why I'm saying other countermeasures are still necessary. So for instance, one of the things that at Darker also we do, and we are quite good at, is looking at pirate infrastructure, for instance, a pirate box, and identify a single point of failure in that box. And it can be, for instance, in the box, there can be hardwired a certain URL. So if you find a way to disrupt that, then it's still a box, but actually it's a dumb box and it doesn't do anything anymore because it doesn't point to the right URL anymore. We've had cases where we've done that, and then the next week we saw, and in some cases in North Africa, there were like lines of 100 people at the reseller saying, all bringing back their box and trying to get it working again. So this kind of thing, it can be very effective. And that's not only the case for boxes, but it can also be the case for infrastructure. Talking about CDN, talking about domain name providers, talking about other methods. So that indeed, that's the second point, that it's countermeasures. I mean, by disrupting the relationship with ISP, CDN, domain name providers, it's a payment processor that can be a very important tool. And payment processors, for instance, may not always know that they are working with a pirate. So that's why a bigger company such as Niagara also is, and that means, okay, we need to build up a certain level of comfort and trust, confidence with these guys, that they indeed realize that we come with the right evidence, and then they will indeed start to work with this kind of pirate. So this can be an important action, important measure. Then of course, maybe the last one first, what we do, is also quite a bit of what's called in the industry knock and talks, and that's especially true for resellers. There's lots of resellers out there in many countries that sell these pirate boxes. So sometimes it's just a question of a visit and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, and that's enough. So this can actually be very effective. And of course, if that fails, then legal actions against suppliers, buyers, resellers is also still an option. Okay, I think that was about it. So if you look at Niagara is a big company, part of the Budelsky Group, which has about 3,500 employees. But if you look at purely anti-piracy services, watermarking, the team is about 130 staff. So 130 experts. We have advanced labs in Switzerland, in Madrid, in Bangalore, in Denver, here in the US, and in Sao Paulo. And in total, together with our security practice with for the for the pay TV providers. We have about 25 years experience, and below you see some of the the customers that we serve, like Dish Network here in the US, and many others.
Awesome.
Well, Harry, thank you. Appreciate that. Right, good overview. Nice start on Force and Screen.